All right, today I'm going to be preaching, and the title of my sermon today is, Where Are Your Treasures Stored? Where Are Your Treasures Stored? And I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So as we get into the word, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your presence is so much evident in this place. While worshiping, thank you for coming, embracing us, talking to us, and for doing what you had to do. And we thank you for your word. We glorify you. Be glorified as I preach. Transform our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at the first word in this verse, and that is therefore. Therefore, this word always takes us back to the previous thoughts. The thought here is laying up treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy, or laying up treasures in heaven where it is indestructible. The context of this passage is on giving. Jesus also talks about two masters, God and money, and man cannot love both masters. He must despise one and be devoted to the other. Do you think Jesus is telling us not to save money? Do you think he's telling us not to invest? Or that we have to be poor? Absolutely not. We know from the parable of the talents and other places in the Bible that we are expected to be good stewards of the money. We are expected to be great stewards. And God has given us the ability to produce wealth. And what this passage is really talking about is putting money before God. When we don't give into the kingdom of God, we allow our money to be the first priority before God, and money becomes our idol. But sometimes when we give, it causes us to be anxious because of our circumstances. Now, who doesn't get anxious? Everyone gets anxious in their different phase of life. They get anxious about exams, admissions, jobs, marriages, children, paying the house rent, taxes, and so forth. Joe and I were anxious a few months ago about job, finances, children, buying a home and car. She was getting an opportunity to work with the UN in the UK, then Dubai. And I was also getting that opportunity. You know, I could have taken an advantage of that and taken an easy way out to go there, earn the money that we want, and get all the things that we want. But God spoke to us. Now, our Father is not against all these things for us. He loves to bless His children. And we felt God asked us to put our roots down here and serve the church. And we know that in time to come, God will bless us. When you devote yourself to love and serve God, anxious thoughts may come. That's why Jesus emphasizes 5 times in this passage, do not be anxious. But there is a peace that comes with obedience. And with obedience comes the security of God's blessing. This is a security we don't have to work for or strive for. It comes from knowing that God, when God asks you to do something, He will also provide. You know, last Sunday, Colin, he spoke about the wise and the foolish builders. The wise man listens to the word of God and puts it into practice. And by doing so, he builds his house on the rock. The foolish man also listens to the word of God, but he doesn't do anything about it. And by doing so, he builds his house on the sand. They both face the same problems in their life. And during these trials, the house that was built on this rock, it stands. And the house built on the sand, it crashes down. Similarly, we've got to build our life like the wise builder. On the rock, by being obedient to the word of God. And in this passage, it means giving. Or we can store the treasures for ourselves here on earth and build a house on the sand. Now, how can you overcome anxiety? Firstly, look to the creation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 to 30 onwards. It says, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The birds don't plant gardens or fields, nor do they harvest crops. They don't store food in the barns. Yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. They are not his children, neither is he their father. He is their creator. If he feeds the birds of the air, which are not his children, how much more will he feed his child? You are more valuable than they. They only have a creator. That is a creation relationship. You have a father. That is a son or daughter relationship. What good does anxiety do? Secondly, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Anxiety leads to health problems like depression, panic attacks, cardiovascular diseases, high BP, stress, and so much more. Instead of adding, anxiety can reduce your lifespan. Jesus asked, "Why are you worried about clothing when the cure is to look at the lilies of the field, how they grow? They do not toil, they do not raise a cotton crop, they do not spin. Do you know about the spinning wheel?" You know, in those days, the ladies used to have to make their own material before they could even make their clothes. They used to have what was known as spinning wheels, where they would spin the wool or cotton into yarn or thread, then weave the yarn in the loom to make the garment they were proposing to make. Lilies are beautiful red and white and so many colors. Consider this. Solomon, in all his glory and wealth, was not dressed like the lilies of the field. Do you agree that lilies are beautiful? How many of you have seen the lilies? It's beautiful, isn't it? So when anxiety starts to overcome you, look to the creation and ponder on how God cares the things he has created, how he has provided. This brings me to the next point, and that is ponder upon God's faithfulness. Last year, before Joe and I got married, we were worried, we were concerned and anxious about a lot of things. We were concerned about our finances, finding a flat, visa, families coming together, furniture, and managing everything else. This year, we have a new bunch of things that we are concerned about. But we know that God was more than faithful to us last year. He blessed us abundantly, and we know that He is the same God, and He will take us through once again this year. Anxiety is a never-ending cycle. But when you look back on your life, you will be able to see God's faithfulness. Jesus said, "Therefore, do not be anxious. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." So our Father knows what we need and has known it through all these generations. He loves being a daddy. He loves being a father. He is a good father, and He provides. So when Satan tries to make you anxious, remind him of how he's been defeated back in the past and what his future is. Thirdly, seek first the kingdom of God. I'm not saying this, Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This means above everything else, seeking the kingdom of God should be our highest priority. What is the kingdom of God? It is the will of God being expressed. It is God's government, His rule and authority. And seeking the kingdom of God is simply being obedient to the will of the Father. It often means dying to yourself and being obedient. So, what does this mean? It means putting God's will above your own. Let's look at the example of Moses. You know, Moses, he constantly sought the will of the Lord. God told Moses to take the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land. Now, this was an insecure path looking at the physical realm. They are walking away from security into an unknown land. But Moses understood that his security came from obedience to God and not life in the palace. And so for every need, big or small, he would run back to God. And not life, he would run back to God and say, "God, what would you have me do?" So when there was no way and enemies were behind them, God parted the Red Sea. When there was no water, God gave it to them from the rock. When there was no food, God provided quail and manna in the desert. When there was no compass, no GPS, God Himself went before them like a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire in the night. You know, in modern times, in modern day, Moses would say, "I can't find parking. Please show me a parking spot." One day he would ask, "God, my GPS is not working." God will say, "Look at the clouds." So Moses was seeking the will of the Father. Moses was seeking the will of the Father in every decision he had to take. We need to ask ourselves this question: what is the will of the Father in my life? I want to get married to this person. What is the will of the Father? I want to relocate to another city. What is the will of the Father? I'm struggling with my colleagues at my workplace. I want to change my job. What is the will of the Father? I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to get water baptized. What is the will of the Father? I'll come to church, but I don't want to connect with people. What is the will of the Father? I'm struggling this month, so I won't tithe. What is the will of the Father? So we've got to be people who love God and obey His commands. What do you mean by seeking His righteousness? When you seek the will of the Father, you chase righteousness. Seeking the kingdom of God and righteousness, it both goes hand in hand. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9. Proverbs 15, verse 9, it says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but He loves him who pursues righteousness." So we've got to be people who pursue righteousness in everything we do. We see this example in Jesus' life. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus went about doing the will of the Father and proclaiming the kingdom of God with great signs and wonders, healing the sick, casting out demons. Jesus also knew that he was going to die a horrific, a painful death. Yet, he continued seeking the kingdom of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God, healing the people. And yet he prayed, knowing that he's going to die, "Father, let not my will, but your will be done." He was obedient to the will of the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus daily spent time conversing with the Father, and that's how he was able to imitate him. God calls us sons and daughters, and Jesus is our role model. Just like Jesus, we need to spend time talking to our Father so that we can know in our lives what His will is for us, His good and pleasing and perfect will. So for example, when Jesus says, "Give and do not be anxious," irrespective of the circumstance, give. Give in faith that He will provide for all your needs. There's no need to be anxious about your provisions when you have been obedient to the will of the Father. Anxiety is faith in the wrong kingdom. When you are anxious, it is difficult to seek the kingdom of God. It stems from a lack of faith in God and from a wrong focus on the things of the world instead of on the things of God. We need to set our mind not on the things of the world, but on the things of God. Can I say that again? Anxiety is faith in the wrong kingdom. When you are anxious, it is difficult to seek the kingdom of God. It stems from a lack of faith in God and from a wrong focus on the things of the world instead of on the things of God. We need to set our mind not on the things of the world, but on the things of God. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek first the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. As you feed on God's word, you will be freed. Faith will eliminate anxiety. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Are you feeding on anxious thoughts today? Or are you feeding on God's word? So to summarize, you can either seek the kingdom of God and store up treasures in heaven, or serve the master of money and store up treasures on earth. So when you feel anxious, look to the creation and God's providence, how He has provided for them from the beginning till now. Ponder on His faithfulness, of how He has been faithful to you in the past, how He has been faithful to you all these years. And most importantly, prioritize seeking the kingdom of God.